Good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. Sun's shining bright. We're here at the worship service where it is nice and warm in this building, and we're thankful for that, for sure. As we get started this morning, we're in the book of Proverbs. The lesson today, if you don't have a book, is focused on the thoughts of Proverbs 27:17 about neighbors. It's lesson 25, and if you have the book, we're on page 178. We're going to open our class with prayer. Keith Emery is going to lead us in our opening prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we humbly bow before you today, thanking you for everything you've given us. We thank you for all the wisdom that you give us in Proverbs. We hope that we'll apply this to our lives. We pray that you'll be with each one of us. We pray that you'll be with the sick. We pray that you'll forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, the first assignment that I'm going to give you today, and I want you to help me out with this. Take just a few minutes over, let's say, between now and next Sunday. Because our last class is going to be on Wednesday night. And we'll be doing a review on Wednesday night. But here's what I want you to do between now and next Sunday. I want you to go home. I want you to get in a quiet place where nobody's bothering you. I want you to think for just a few minutes. And I want you to write down for me, you don't have to put your name on it or anything, but I want you to write down for me something that you have gotten out of Proverbs class. Something that has caused you to change an attitude, a behavior, action, something that's different in your life today, whether it's your perspective or whatever it might be. And just write that down for me, and I'm going to put a box in the back and put comments on Proverbs, and I just want you to take it and drop it in there. Because what I want to do is, as I continue to study Proverbs, and as I continue to have the opportunity to maybe teach this again in the future, maybe even to a younger class, have the perspectives that all of us are experiencing as a result of this study. So, sometime between now and next Sunday, just take a piece of paper, small notepad, whatever, it doesn't matter. And like I say, you don't have to put your name on it. And just something that you've gotten out of the study. Okay, lesson 25. A good neighbor has good neighbors. So as we talk about neighbors in this lesson, are we just talking about, what's the application of neighbors here? Does it mean the person that lives next door to you? Yes and no. That's where I am. Yeah, I think it certainly can apply to the person that is the person that lives next door to you. But I think it also has a much broader application, too, with regard to who our neighbors are. That's the other thing, too. I remember growing up and... sounds like a Gary Hammer story in a very positive way. You know, I remember growing up, and we knew all of our neighbors. I mean, I knew everybody three or four houses down, and you played with the guys down the street, and you had relationships, and you did stuff for each other. And y'all remember that? Some of us that are a little bit older, we had relationships with our neighbors. How many people today, do you think, don't even know the names of the people that live in the house right next door to them? A lot of folks, right? Well, we knew we were going to move back to Bowling Green, and that process started last May when we started building a house. I mean, I immediately tried to begin to meet who our neighbors were going to be because I wanted them to know a little bit about us. I want to know a little bit about them. So by the time we got ready to move into our house, the people that were the two houses closest to us, we knew them, you know, spent a little time in the backyard talking to them, different things, just wanting to begin to develop a relationship with those folks and try and, you know, maybe have an opportunity to have a conversation about something that's a lot more meaningful than how high you cut your grass or what kind of brick you've got on your home. And I think that's part of what this lesson is about, is creating a situation where we've got an opportunity to have meaningful conversations with other people, but also what we can do for other people too in trying to be more what God wants us to be. As always, let's take some of this and apply it to our lives the very best that we can. I guess if I was going to put a subtitle on this lesson, it's character development. And really, the book of Proverbs is that. The book of Proverbs is about our character development and the personal responsibility that we take for developing our character in a way that reflects what? God. The light of Christ, 1 John. That reflects the kind of love that is what God is. And as we think about our character development, you know, it's really important. The other thing I would say is attitude. You know, character development is about attitude. Being a Christian is about attitude and a desire to seek and do good for others. Does it just naturally happen that we do good things for other people? Or do you have to put a little effort into it? You have to put a little effort into it, right? You have to want to be that person to do something for somebody else, to take the initiative. Are there plenty of opportunities to do things for other people? Oh, absolutely. They're all around us. They're here in this church. They're with our neighbors, the people that live close to us. They're with the people that we work with. They're with all kinds of folks that we can extend kindness and love and concern and show people that there's something in our lives that is meaningful to us for us to be that way. And maybe it makes them think, well, they're just a little bit different. Not everybody's that way anymore. Is that what people see in us? We are shaped by the relationships that we have with other people. That's the other thing that this lesson is about. We had some company in this weekend from Corbin, just east of Somerset, over in the London area on I-75. Young couple that we've known for a lot of years. And they're like family to us. Well, I mean, we are really close. We've been on trips together and meaningful relationship. Those two young people would do anything in the world for us. And we would do the same for them. Because we invested in that relationship several years ago, and we continue to. So, you know, the people that we have relationships with reflect our character and have impact on our character too. How others interact with us is largely influenced by how we interact with them. And we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. And how can we hope to influence others to come to Christ if we're not there first? And that's also going to work into what we're going to be doing with this personal work effort that we're getting ready to launch. Curtis is going to talk about it some this morning as he preaches. We're actually going to launch that effort next Sunday. It's going for 3 quarters. We got a lot of men involved in the process, and we want every one of you to be involved in that process too. And it's a great opportunity for us to bring others to Christ in a way that's non-threatening, but also empowers us to do what God says He wants us to do anyway. And it's kind of part of this lesson too, is being good neighbors. You know, you've got something you're real excited about, you want to tell other people about it, right? Shouldn't we all be excited about the gospel? Shouldn't we all be excited about salvation that it offers us? We should be. And we should be excited enough about it that we want to share it with others. And it should be reflected in our lives in a way that other people want to have it as part of what they have too. So, you know, this lesson kind of fits in with some of what we're talking about there. So the main parts of this lesson, as we start looking at the book, there's really those main points. Be the kind of person that you want to be friends with. Be loyal at all times. Treat everybody alike. guard against being continually disagreeable, control your tongue, and love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter in verse 39, who's got a mic? Gary, you got a microphone? Would you mind looking that up? Matthew 22:39. That's another really good verse as it relates to love of neighbor, responsibility toward God. Matthew 22:39. I'll back up and read 37, 38, and 39.
Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
So what's the first commandment? Love God. The second commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's pretty powerful when you think about that. Number one is love God, and number two is love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love God, number one, and that's number one, as Christians, absolutely, that should be number one for us. And if we love Him, that love should be reflected in how we live our lives. And it dovetails with number two. And number two is love your neighbor as yourself. Other people and what we do for them, that's what this lesson is all about. So I think that's another one. If you don't, I'd write that down. Matthew 22 and really, like I said, 37 through 39. It's really good in relation to the lesson today. Okay. As we get into the first point, let's do that. Be the kind of person that you want your friends to be. It says in the book there, birds of a feather flock together. We've talked about good and bad company before. We've talked about the verse that says, you know, evil companions corrupt good morals. It's in 1 Corinthians 15:33 under that next point. Basically, we got to understand that the company we keep to some degree reflects our character. If those are people that we choose to be with and they're not godly people, and that's what we do over and over and over again, how's that going to influence our character? Gene, is it going to be good? If we're with good people, absolutely. And that's who we should choose to be with. But not with people that are going to influence us in a negative way. Relationships and people we choose to spend time with can impact our lives and our character in either a positive or a negative way. And we've got to decide if we're going to do what God would have us to do, or if we're going to do what the world's going to do. Another part of what it talks about there in that point under be kind, be the kind of person that you want your friends to be, is with regard to evil companionship and what I was talking about in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil people delight in evil companions. And it's like they're looking for trouble. It goes back to what's important to us and making sure that we don't go in the way that evil people are going. Look over in Proverbs in the 4th chapter, in verses 14 through 19. Proverbs 4, 14 through 19. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And again, we talk about the dark and the light, and we're supposed to be in the light and reflect the light and the light of Christ in our lives. Darkness and light and people that we spend our time with, evil companions, look to do things in the dark. Why do people do things in the dark? Why does somebody go to rob someplace generally when it's dark? They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be seen. They don't want people to know what they're doing that that what they're doing is part of something that they shouldn't be doing. So, again, there's a good analogy there between the light and the dark and the kind of people that we spend time with. Who wants these kind of friends? If you do not, then do not be guilty of these things. Under B there. Hypocrite. Hypocrite is what? Two-faced. Okay. Defend a position even when it's not supported. That's another thing that a hypocrite will do. They don't have any grounds for what they say. Somebody that's bitter. When you think of somebody that's bitter, what do you think about? Yes, ma'am. Hypocrite says it, but they don't do it. So you speak all these things, but it's not reflected in your life, your actions. Correct. Another thing that somebody that's bitter. Do y'all know bitter people? I mean, you ever be around somebody that's bitter all the time? What's their attitude like?
Negative.
Earthful. It's, ugh. I mean, don't you just not even want to, it's like, get me out of here, right? If somebody's bitter, and all they've got, they're hurt, they're angry, they're in pain, they're resentful, they just spew with bitterness. I mean, it's not something that we want to be around. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. A lot of wisdom in Proverbs. Number three there, stingy. He's always thinking about what something costs. He's not willing to do anything. He's tight-fisted. I think of Scrooge when I think of somebody that's stingy. Doing something for somebody else, and the opposite of stingy, I think, is doing something for somebody else and not expecting anything in return. Or not wanting to be seen for what you've done. Oh, I did this. Look at what I did. What's that? If somebody's just, I mean, you know, what's that?
Human pride.
I think that's right. I think human pride is right. Well, look at what I did for this person. You know, look at this money I gave and look at the, you know, lots of times you see where there's something that's done as a gift to whatever and they make it, it's by a private donor. I'm gonna go with they just wanted to do it and they didn't want anybody to know that they did it. And should we always want to think, why? It doesn't matter if people don't know that we did something. It doesn't matter. God knows, and that's what matters. And we don't want to be that stingy person that says that, you know, we're not going to do something for other people. The fool we have talked about over and over and over again. They act unwise. They have knowledge available, but they choose not to use it. And then they don't act on it. A little bit kind of akin to the hypocrite also. Usually, the fool is very self-centered and not really focusing on anybody else. They despise wisdom. That's a fool. If somebody won't listen to the truth, and we've talked about that before, most generally it's a fool. Comments from anybody on any of this that we're talking about with regard to character right now? There's a few more things to talk about, but I want to open it up for a minute if anybody's got anything. Wait just a minute. Let's get you a microphone here. Okay, real quick. Wisdom or fool. Yeah, Jack's talking about there's this parallel, and we're either ever in the wisdom camp, we want to take knowledge and apply it to our lives, or we're in the fool camp. As it continues to talk about being a drunkard is somebody that lets drink influence their lives. And, oh, I just take it to calm my nerves a little bit, and I don't really drink that much, but just every once in a while. You know, the doctor says it's good for me. There's plenty of excuses for anybody that wants to drink, and they'll find them. And then that calming your nerves gets to be where you have to have it a little bit more, or I'm just having a casual drink with a friend at dinner, or whatever the excuse might be, but there have been many a family ruined by alcohol and by the drink. It's a fact. So, you know, it's not the kind of person that you want to hang out with, because they might have influence on you. Sexually immoral, Proverbs 23:27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman a narrow pit. When you talk about sexually immoral, there's lots of ways for any of us to be sexually immoral, correct? More today than ever before. With the internet, more today than ever before. But to be sexually immoral is to be outside of that relationship that God defined as the right relationship between a man and a woman. And we have to make that choice, and it has to do with what our character is and how we go about living our lives every day. And then a thief. 29:24, whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. You know, somebody taking without permission. Taking something and promising in return to give it back, but not. They're also a liar. So it's kind of two birds with one stone. They're a thief. They take something that doesn't belong to them. They're a liar. They say they're going to replace it, and they don't. You know, recently ran into a situation that personal experience, and it kind of goes back to one of the lessons we had not too long ago where we talk about where we get angry. And one of the things we talked about that made us angry was to feel like we had been taken advantage of. Remember? So, I recently experienced this situation where we had somebody that was in a piece of property that was renting it to own it. Back over in Somerset. Didn't work out. Trying to help the family, guy, kids, wife, so on. Even stretched out when he could make his payment. Saw him before they got ready to move out. I'll deposit the money in the account on this date. That date came and went. And more days came and went. He didn't make the deposit. So he misled me, first of all. And then, you know, now he's avoiding. He's on the chase. His phone number's disconnected. We found another phone number for him. I call, and he won't even take my telephone calls. So there's several things within this character piece right here, you know, where if the guy would answer the phone and just say, or if to my face he'd have said, look, we're in dire straits. We really got the situation, and is there any way you can help us out? That's a whole different conversation if somebody's running from you, right? But don't choose to be that person, you know. Fess up to whatever's going on in our lives and don't let our character be compromised by making bad decisions that are not going to be pleasing to God. Comments about that point? Be loyal at all times. A friend loves at all times. You know, when you think about somebody that you can count on, when you think about a friend, a true friend, it's somebody that you can pick up the phone and you can call them. And it doesn't matter what you need, in my opinion anyway. This is kind of one of those qualifiers for me. And whatever it is, they're gonna as long as it's not detrimental to you, if you will, they're going to do whatever they can to help you. And then if we're that person on the other end of the phone and we've got somebody that calls us with that call, are we going to try and do the same thing? Are we looking for excuses for why we can't help them make it happen? So to be a friend, you got to have a friend. And I mean, you got to live that kind of life. You got to be that kind of person. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When times get tough, when things are hard, are you going to stand by that person and help them out? We have that kind of relationship with other people. And I'm sure there's people, you know, whether it's family or friends or neighbors or whoever it might be, that if anything happened, especially in adversity, and they came to you, you're going to be there for them. You're going to be there for them and help them and do whatever it takes to do the best you can to help them through that situation. What does that mean when somebody does that for you? What does that mean to you when somebody does that for you? Hang on just a second right here. We're going to get you a microphone where we can better hear what you're saying.
Oh, no.
It's okay. No, come on, bring it on up there.
When someone does something like that for me personally, and I'm going back from years ago to where I am now, before I was a Christian and now that I've been a Christian for many years, is one, I don't feel alone, because that is a bad position to be in.
Great point. Don't feel alone.
Deeper, that no one cares. So then again, another way Satan works, you just continue going downhill. But just feeling that I'm not alone, other people care, I'm valued.
Those are great points.
People.
Those are great thoughts. Because when somebody does respond, it's also love. It is that love. And we talk about God being love and us to reflect God. If we're not willing to do that for other people, then are we reflecting God in the way we should in our lives? Great point. Anybody else? I like that. Okay, so a friend is loyal at all times. We talk about, you know, people that you can count on. Back up your words with action that can be depended upon. We all know hearty backslappers with a smile like a toothpaste advertisement, but whose friendship is worthless in time of adversity. Their words are sweet like honey, but when it comes down to the action, you really can't count on. It doesn't take many times for that to occur that you don't call them again. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Always going to be there. Won't quit. I mean, I can think of a guy right now that if I broke down on the side of the road and I don't care where I was, he'd come to get me. I just know he would, because he's that kind of friend. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Do what we say that we're going to do. Our work ethic, our commitment. The last one there is kind of interesting. Proverbs 26:23-26. It says that an unfulfilled promise is worthless as clay pot covered with silver. That was a glazing process that they used to use. And basically, it would be the outside of this pot, and it would have this nice silver look, but it's actually just clay that's been fired on the inside. So it's talking about, don't be that kind of person. Don't be that kind of person that's just the surface that people see, but the actions of what you do and live by really don't have anything to it. Okay, the next part is treat everybody alike. Is it easy to be guilty of not doing that? Would you say amen? Yeah, it is. So what are the first qualifiers that we usually use by how we're going to treat somebody?
Like I want to be treated.
Yeah, we treat somebody the way we want to be treated, for sure. But sometimes if we don't treat people the way they should be treated, what's one of the first things that we use to determine how we're going to treat them?
Appearance.
Clothes. How well they're kept or manicured or whatever, you know, and that is so wrong. It is, because we're so busy caught up looking with the outside that we're forgetting about what's on the inside. What's on the inside is the same thing that we are, a soul that God loves, that we got a responsibility to. Sometimes it's hard to get past what we see, though, and that's the hard part. Yes, sir.
I think sometimes congregations can fall into this trap. I mean, there are some people in any congregation that are like the same things I like, in the same, run with the same crowd outside of worship, and guess what? I tend toward those people. Well, there are other people in any congregation that you might pick that, okay, we don't have those similar things. I've got to work at that a little harder than I do those that I just naturally fit with. It's a challenge. And especially as congregations get bigger, it's even a bigger challenge. But that doesn't excuse me from having to try.
Absolutely. And I'm going to challenge those of you guys in this audience that are maybe my age or close to it, and I'm 50-something. So here's my challenge to you. And this came as a result of a conversation I had with this young man that was visiting with us this weekend. You know, he said, the reason that I've always been comfortable with you was because you weren't afraid to reach out to me. Chew on that, guys. Chew on that. He wasn't afraid to communicate with me because I reached out to him. So he didn't feel intimidated by talking to me. He didn't feel intimidated by being able to have a conversation with me and maybe ask me about some things. So guys that are in my age category, reach out to some of these young people. You know, we're not perfect. I'm certainly not. But there's a lot of things that we've experienced that they could certainly benefit from if we would just open ourselves up to that relationship. So, you know, that's being a neighbor. That's being a friend. That's talking about what Gary's talking about, too. Get outside of our comfort zone a little bit to try and reach out to other people to learn from that. And, you know, the other thing is I've learned things from him, too. And he gives me a perspective that I might not have otherwise. Plus, guess what? I got a little perspective that maybe I can share with him if he's willing to listen to what I've got to say. So, being that friend, being that neighbor, being somebody that cares, that's trying to develop a relationship. If we're going to treat everybody the way that we want to be treated, and we don't look down at others, and we don't think of ourselves as being better than somebody else, because our clothes are different. Gary, comment, please. Then, you know, we're going to be the kind of person God wants us to be. We're going to have the kind of impact that He's hoping that we will have in a positive way.
I think everybody has their friends and their groups that they run with, and but when it makes the difference in what I think they're talking about here is you let the preacher or the elders or whoever get in the hospital or be sick, they're going to get a card, they're going to get a visit. But what about those who have maybe nobody, the elderly and that, you know, do we do the same for them? I think that's where the differences come in and where you're looking at more one better than the other. And I think that's what it's talking about, that you should treat and love all of everybody, you know.
Equally. Everybody matters, and we all need to understand that. We got Gary, we got another one down here again. Okay. Oh, come on. You do such a good job.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go back on what you were saying, because this is something that I'm still, I haven't grown to where God wants me to grow yet in this area. But I've learned for myself, too, is, yeah, it is getting out of the comfort zone, you know, going beyond the boundaries with what I'm comfortable with. And I always tie it, and I'm speaking to myself, is denying myself, because Jesus does talk about denying self.
Absolutely.
And for me, you know, there's different areas, but this is one area. It's like, okay, I can go reach out to this person, but I'm a little uncomfortable there. But then that's where I have to say, okay, why am I uncomfortable with it? You know, what is it that is bothering me about it?
Right.
And again, it's not about me, but also self-reflect. I have to ask myself, and even pray sometimes, why, and asking God, help me to see why I'm uncomfortable to reach that person. And as you mentioned, that person is a soul.
Absolutely.
And we're not to make judgment calls, but to go beyond that, but also looking at myself. Am I making a judgment call and bringing it back to me? What is it that I need to change? And we're not going to be able to reach out to everyone. That's why God made us
right.
All different. We're going to meet different needs. But for myself, it's saying being willing to get out of my comfort zone.
Get outside your comfort zone. Do something that's not necessarily easy for yourself. And I think the other part is, too, spend less time in front of the TV or just in casual things that we want to do to entertain ourselves, and think more about what it says in Matthew 28:19-20. And that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. That's our charge. That's our responsibility. And if we're going to treat everybody the way that we want to be treated, we're going to try and do the kind of things that God would have us to do. There we go. Guard against being continuously disagreeable. You ever have a conversation with somebody that is disagreeable about everything that you talk to them about? Don't you hate it? I mean, you can't find anything for them to agree with you on. They're looking for something to be wrong with everything you say. They're always right. You're always wrong. They're contentious. It's a problem. You know, they're always trying to start trouble, always looking for a reason to disagree with people. And the other thing that this part of the lesson talks about, in Romans 12:18, it says, live peaceably with all men, if at all possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So it's saying, don't be that person. Be peaceable with all men. And I've had a conversation with some folks in this class about, you know, people that are always trying to just be something bad, negative all the time. Well, you can do one of two things. You can either try and come back with something positive, or what? Avoid them. Don't try and let them occupy your space any more than you have to. Stand for the truth. Be a reflection of God to the best of your ability. And, you know, another thing where I said keep your opinion yourself, a lot of times it talks about in Proverbs 26:17 on page 180 there under 4, don't meddle in strife that does not belong to you. I like that. That's a good thought. Don't meddle in strife that does not belong to you. It's their business and it's not everybody else's. And it gets into gossip and it, you know, which goes down to the next one, to control your tongue. Sometimes there's things we're just better off not knowing about. And what's it going to do for you to get in the middle of it that you don't have anything to do with in the first place? Nothing. So I think what the writer's saying and what Proverbs is saying, and the writer there, just stay away from it. The beginning of strife soon gets out of control, so leave it alone before it starts. Friction, disputes, disagreement, bickering. Who enjoys any of that? I don't see any hands. Stay away from it. Don't get yourself in the middle of it. Next point is controlling our tongue, and we talked a lot about that too. And this is really good. In Proverbs 6, turn your Bibles over to Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. And in particular, what we're going to talk about in number 17 there, because it fits right in. My son, let's see, 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. A proud look, so we talk about pride, he hates that. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. How many of those things apply to the lesson that we're talking about today? All of them but shedding blood. And he's got shedding blood right in there with those. They are an abomination to him. So if we find ourselves in the middle of a lie, the Bible says it's an abomination to God. And how can we please him if we're doing things that are an abomination to him? Or creating strife or whatever the situation might be. We can't be that person and be pleasing in the sight of God. Proverbs 14:25 says, true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. It's about our character and how we live our lives. Gossip. You know, this is one that I think...
Tim.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Comment. Sorry about that. I dropped my head and I was...
I wanted to bring this out before we run out of time.
Sure.
We started with Matthew, the first and second commandments. And I think that it fits right in here. In Romans 13, verses 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. When we think about that list of things here, those are the last five of the Ten Commandments, and David was guilty of four of these things, at least, with regards to his neighbor. It was Bathsheba was his next-door neighbor that he was able to see her. He coveted, he stole what didn't belong to him, he committed adultery, and then he committed murder.
Right.
To cover that all up. That was not showing a proper love to his neighbor.
That's a great point, and that's real people, not a Bible character, which I think sometimes we fall into, and we make these people that had real lives that are documented for us in God's Word into cartoon characters. That was a real life and real lives that were affected by decisions that he made. And if you go to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and you go in verses 3 through 11, it talks about the kinds of things that should be a part of our lives too. So a lot of this is about character and about being the kind of people that God wants us to be. The gossip piece. You know, I think it's one thing to try and get information to be able to make a decision, but to be a gossip, just to be passing stuff that you don't know whether it's truth or fact, if it's truth, fact, or fiction, and then something gets added to the truth, that's where we get into trouble. To be able to try and find something out so that you can make a decision about it yourself, you certainly don't want to be a gossip or cause somebody else to be a gossip. But at the same time, it's important to know the facts with regard to situations if it has impact on our lives. James talks about the tongue. And again, we've studied that a great deal, and we've got to be careful of that. And then the closing thought there is on page 181, love your neighbor as yourself.
Jim.
Yes, sir. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I think often in the church we try to justify reasons to gossip. Well, we can talk about this person, fill in the blank. We haven't invested in this, this gossip conversation or whatever because fill in the blank. And we often look for justifications to talk about things with, with going on with others that we have, like you said earlier, we have no business talking about.
Right. Pass that microphone right next to that man.
To her point, oftentimes we'll kind of throw at the ends, kind of like calling somebody ugly and then saying, bless their heart. That makes it okay.
Right.
In the church, what we like to do is just say, well, I want you to help me pray for this person. Now I'm going to spill every bit of juicy gossip and slander I can about this individual and tack on the end of it so you can pray for this brother. I don't need to know the juicy details of that individual's problems and sin in order to pray for them, help them, encourage them. That's sinful. The other side of that, and what sadly many Christians like to do, we like to do in the church, is say, well, I don't want to deal with this directly as the Bible teaches, so I'm going to go unload this burden on my elder or my preacher. I know of no scripture that gives me authority or permission to gossip to my elder or slander to my elder. It now makes him guilty of gossip and slander as well, and it's bringing him down with me. I need to go to my brother if I have a problem with him and not run to the elders, spill that, and now make it their burden where it shouldn't be until I've resolved it with my brother one-on-one.
Yeah, with the tongue, there's just so many things we've got to be careful of. And if we would engage our brain a little bit before we do our mouth, we're generally going to be in a whole lot better shape than if we didn't. Final point is love your neighbor as yourself. And I guess the thought there is if we love people the way that we love ourselves, first of all, how good a job do you do of taking care of yourself? Your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, how you treat your friends or your neighbors. And then think about how you treat them. So you don't want to return good for evil. Return good for evil. You don't want to give evil for evil. That's what I was trying to say. And again, when you give somebody good back for them treating you in an evil way, you'll absolutely blow their mind every time because they don't understand. They don't get it. I did this to you and you're going to be nice to me. It doesn't make any sense to them. But maybe it's an opportunity to have impact on them in a positive way. So, as good neighbors, what type of relationship do we have with fellow Christians to sharpen our spiritual character? What do neighbors see in our lives to help us have the proper influence? Being men and women of God will cause us to seek opportunities to be good neighbors. Don't take for granted your friends. Be neighbors. When they are a neighbor to you, listen to what they say. And if the second commandment behind our love for God is love of our neighbors as ourselves, then we should care about our neighbors. Okay, the next lesson on Wednesday night will be the final one for the class, Make Your Paths Level. It will be a review. And also remember for me, you know, just a note, you don't have to put your name on it, what you have learned that you personally want to take. Because I'm also going to take all those notes, and I'm going to send them to the writer of this book for him to have an opportunity to see what kind of impact his work is having on other people. Thank you very much.